from the book of Joshua. Joshua, the fourth chapter. And it says this, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe." And you all, why don't you all read this one with me? "And commanded them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from there, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in..." Fourth verse. "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe." Fifth verse. "And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes." Sixth and final verse. "That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you?" I want to take for a message, just a simple message. It says, don't forget to remember. Will you say that with me? Don't forget to remember. As we bow our heads in prayer, Father, thank you so much for your anointing in this place. We give you glory and praise. No one can do us like you. Thank you for the praises that are going up to you now, because you're worthy of the praise. I thank you, God, that we came today in this cold to give you praise and glory, because you're worthy. I thank you, God, that you're so worthy that you brought us all the way through 2017, and we don't take it for granted. Many didn't make it, but we're here. And while we're here, and since we're here, we've made up our mind that we're going to give you glory, that we're going to praise you, that we're going to place you first in all that we do. So, Father, this day, speak to us. I come against anything that would hinder the word from reaching the intended targets. I thank you, God, that you've not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. I thank you, God, that we're not just not here, but there's a passion still burning on the inside of our hearts. So right now, we put our hands together passionately, and we give you glory. We bless your name. We honor you because you did it, God. And we won't forget. We won't forget. Say amen. And come on, give him one more praise. He's God, and he's worthy of the praise. When I look at this passage, it blesses me to know that it starts off by sharing the backdrop, if you will, or the setting in which this was established, was actually coming from the very place. It was actually coming from the very place of Egypt. And we're doing good. Now, y'all gonna have to do me a favor and give God praise one more time, because I'm gonna have to do it as well. God is good. When I think about the backdrop of this particular passage, it reminds me of Egypt, first of all, of people that love God, but because of they were not operating in what God called them to operate in, it's interesting that they actually got in a situation because they were not believing and trusting God. So when I see this passage, I think about Israel. I think about several generations, actually, because if you really want to embrace or understand what this event meant, you'd have to look at where they had come from. And when you think about people being in bondage for 400 years, that's a long time to be in bondage, and your children's children being in bondage. And God wanted to bring them out. He wanted to do an amazing thing in the Israelites' life. And this was a turning point, because not only had they been in bondage for 400 years, they'd left bondage, and then they had been traveling in the wilderness for another 40 years, so they had gone from a place of not enough into a place of just enough, because God was preparing and providing for them every day just as they needed, by, you know, with sometimes manna and quail, and they would get their full, and sometimes they would say, this is really not what we want, but they were still maintaining, because they were actually on punishment for not doing what God called them to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now God is saying, I'm getting ready to take you from where you are to your promised land. And I want you to know that I believe that there's some significance to that, because I believe God is taking us somewhere in 2018. Can you believe that? Yes. Can you just believe it with me? So therefore, you have to have some marching orders. And my mom, you know, when, before she would take us, she'd say, I'm getting ready to take you to the fair. And, you know, man, we was you know, she hardly took us to Six Flags because it cost too much. Fair was free a long time ago. But you got 9 kids. So you say, I'm getting ready to take you all out here. And when you get here, don't lose your mind. Don't lose your mind. In other words, don't go running in front of stuff. Don't be begging for everything. I want you to remember, you know, that we're with you, and we want you to stay connected. I want you to know that God gave marching orders to Israel. He told them something pretty important. I want to call your attention to in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:1. This is the first 2 verses there. It's two. That's fine. 2 is good. 1 is better. Stay there. Hallelujah. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. And I like what the King James Version says. It says, beware that you observe. In other words, watch out. I'm giving you some instruction here. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess what? I'm giving you land. I told you this is going to happen. You've got to just be ready to receive this. And beware that you don't forget me, because this is going to take place. And he says, the land of which I swore to your fathers. Next verse, 2nd verse. It says this, and you shall remember. Somebody say remember. Remember. It's important that we remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years. In other words, you didn't even go in the wilderness by yourself, but God led you that whole way. Some of us have been in a wilderness experience for some time, but aren't you ready to come out? Amen. Aren't you ready to just shake that thing and say, it's time for a new season? And God wants to take you there. He says, even while you're in this wilderness experience, going through what you're going through, round and round, he says, I'm still with you there. I'm still providing for you. I'm providing supernaturally for you, but I've got better for you. But I've done it for a reason, for 3 reasons. 1 is to humble you, because you need to be humbled. How many of you can easily get in pride? It's getting quiet in the pride section. And some see pride, you know, they only see pride as like this. I'm proud. That's pride as well, but pride is also, I don't want to go in. I'm just too scared. And what if? That's pride too, because the focus is on you. Did you get that? So sometimes people think pride is only this, standing up, beating your chest. I think God wants his people to operate in so much confidence, so much boldness, being so courageous about who God has called them to be. When they go up there and not saying, wait a minute, what the people say, and I can't do it. Forget you can't do it in your own strength. You can do all things through God that gives you the strength. Are you with me today? So when you stand up, don't stand up in your own power. Recognize it's God within you to cause you to accomplish great things. So I wanted to humble you. Humble means come in alignment with God's plan, his will, to test you. Somehow, how many of you all know sometimes we have to go through some tests? How many of you all like tests? He says, nope, I don't like tests. Neither do I, hallelujah. And to know what's in your heart. Some people say, God, if you do this, then I will. And it's interesting that when God does what he says, we go do what we want to do. He said, God, if you just, I beg you, please. And once God does it, and he says, well, what about what you said? And then we say, April fools. But he says, I wanted to show you, because he knew what was in your heart. I wanted to show you what's in your heart. And sometimes when God shows you what's in your heart, you say, God, you know, help me out. Change me. You know, I don't want to be like this. I need you to do something different on the inside of me, because I didn't even know that was on the inside of me. Any of you all like that? We said, as soon as you bless me with this job, God, I'm going to remember you first. I was going to give you. Man, oh, man. Y'all still here? Hallelujah. So therefore, he wanted to show us what's in our heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. I want to see if you're going to do this. Wow. Now, there's another passage. I can't do the whole thing. But then he goes on and says, oh, man, I got to take you here just for a minute. I didn't get to do this early service. But he says, I took you through the wilderness. And not only did I take you through the wilderness, he says, your shoes didn't wear out. Oh, I feel something on that. He says, I want you to know that I was with you. You think you did this on your own, but them shoes you had on, they lasted the whole time. They was way better than Nike. Whew. I gave you food. No enemy could overcome you, could overtake you, because I was with you. You know, and then he says, you know, I fed you quail and I provided every day for you. And I look at this pastor, God, you know, you how many of you all look back at your life and you recognize that it's been God the whole time? Could have been fired, could have been dead, I could have been all jacked up, could have been in somebody's insane asylum. Truth be, I don't know if they still call it that, but whatever it is, just showing my age, hallelujah. I just hang around older people. That's my vernacular comes from there. But the thing is that I could have been anywhere, but he tells them how he's been with them. And all of us need to be reminded. So let me give you my first point. It's this. It's very important to grasp this. It says something God wants us to remember. Some things God wants us to remember. You know, some things you need to forget. Because God forgets them and throws them into the very sea of puts them down there, and we don't have to get them again. Amen? And then other things we need to remember. You know, and I begin to think about some of the things that we forget because, you know, we need to hear this message because we forget things. You know, I asked Corey earlier, one of the Mike Lott. I said, how long have you been married now? He said, Then he looked at her and he said, well, 9? She said, no, 8. So some things we forget. So I listed some of the things that we forget, and one of the things that we forget is our keys. Can I get a witness? Anybody, you forget your keys? What about your phone? And if you forget your phone, you're going to go. We even have something now where you can locate your phone because you mess around and lose it. Thank you, Jesus. We also forget why we left the room. We forget why we opened the refrigerator. Man, and this one is embarrassing. Man, I've done this not too long ago. Man, I was going all over the house looking for something. I was looking for my glasses, and they was right. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! And sometimes another thing that we forget, we forget names. And sometimes you can just shake somebody's hands and you say, hey, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And then I mess with it. I say, now, what is his name? You know his name. Hama. They said, Pastor, why are you always, I'm trying to help you remember. Glory to the name of Jesus. And then another thing we forget is sometimes when we go to the grocery store, and then we think, what was I supposed to get? Or you come home and say, but God says there's some things that you can't afford to forget. There's certain things that you've got to remember. That's why the Lord says, I want you to take the Lord's cup. And he says, as often as you do this what? In why? I want you to remember what Jesus Christ done. Somebody give God praise in this house. Thank you, Lord. See, I don't want to forget some things. And if your parents are still here, if you still got some grandparents here, get before them and let them download into you all those stories. I write this message with the focus and dedicating it actually to my father because that was one of his favorite sayings. Don't forget to remember. When you've been without a long time, when you grew up and didn't know your dad and didn't always know where your meal was going to come from, you have an appreciation that other people sometimes may not have. Can I get a witness in the house? Boy, I'm going to preach today. I just feel something. I can see him that he said he only saw his dad maybe once or twice in his life, but how did God take his situation and then make him a model father for me to look at? That was nothing but God. Can I get a witness in this place? So some things you want to remember because he can look back and say, you know, that was God. God opened this door, and he used to pick cotton, and I was with him on a certain cotton. I was maybe a little, but he used to pick cotton and said, Wayne, I could pick this much a day, and this is how much they give me. And when I, you know, I'm retired now and still got a check coming in, you think I don't thank God? He says, not only do I have one house, son, but I got two houses, one on the east side and then one on the west side. I said, Dad, in the same city? He said, yeah, I don't want to go all the way to Florida. I just want to go across town. See, when some people think about how good God is and how far he's brought them, you know, it's nothing but God, thank you for what you've done. Are you with me in the house? Woo, I feel the praise coming on. Well, let me ask you the question. When we think about remembering and the importance of it, then why do we forget? Let me give you a couple of reasons why we forget. One reason is because we get busy. We get in a hurry. And you know that you forget more things when you're running. I'm in a hurry. I got to do this. I forgot this. Man, and sometimes if we get in so big of a hurry, I even think sometimes the church gets in too big of a hurry. Whew, getting quiet. On Sunday, sometimes I think we're in a little bit too big of a hurry because when we want to do, even when it comes to worshiping or come to even getting into the word, or it's amazing that we can sit in front of the TV for hours, but then when it comes to worship, it's like, when it comes to the word, like, I got to hurry up. How long has he been up? Wait a minute. Some things we need to slow it down. And I was telling you, even when it came to Christmas, man, I wasn't running around like a chicken in my head because I ain't planning no dinners. I ain't go shopping. I don't like to shop. I don't. Anybody else like me? Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I don't like to shop. I don't. But I did buy some gifts. We said, how'd you go do it? Well, I had somebody go to the store and have their phone and say, do you like this? I said, nah, I don't like that. You like this? Yeah, get two of those. I'm just saying, you can do some things, got some things done. But my thing is I don't want to encumber my life with a whole bunch of stuff. People get mad at me because they say, well, you don't have your phone on. You right. And I ain't mad at you. If you don't have yours on, don't be hating on me if mine's not on either. And I might look at it in a day or might not. See, I sent you an email. Did you read it? No. So, Pastor, that's not nice. I'm just letting you know I didn't read it. You don't want me to lie? I'm not going to allow everything to occupy my life. I'm not going to allow a lot of busyness and the culture of the busyness to overindulge my life or overfill up my life. Are you with me today? And people look at me like you're crazy. Well, you don't? No, I'm not. I know one of the boys set me up a long time ago. I told you for Facebook. I won't tell you who it was, but his name started with a J and last name was P. So, but at any rate, he set my Facebook thing up. That was back a long time ago. We first came out, and man, it was so many people sending stuff. I was like, man, take me out of this, because somebody came to church and said, I sent you a like, and someone says, well, I don't know how to like that, and somebody said, I poked you, or something. I don't know how to do that. So how come you didn't get? I said, oh, take me off of this thing. Man, that's too much busyness. Can I get a witness? And then you wonder, I'm going to preach today. And then you wonder why people don't hear a word from God. Something's buzzing in your pocket. God trying to talk to you. Something's in beating and running, all these fancy. Then you put on, Jesus Christ, are you telling me I need to move on? Let me move on. Hallelujah. Some things God wants us to remember, and one of the challenges is we get in a hurry. The next thing is that sometimes, you know, some things will hurt us, and it'll cause us not to want to remember God. We'll get hurt so bad, so, man, I don't want to think about God. And we, of all the things, the worst thing is something hurts you and you run away from God. If something comes on you, man, you need to run to God. Can I get a witness today? Somebody give him a praise today. Well, how can you prevent forgetting? Here's one way you can prevent forgetting. I call it spiritual amnesia. You know, that means that God has done some amazing things and we all of a sudden forgot. You know, we think we got here because we did something. We think we are here because we were so good. We think we're here because we were so lucky. And can I let you know, luck has nothing to do with it. Thank you, Jesus. Even though when I was at the grocery store the other day, and man, I saw on the sign on the door, it said $384 million. And $84 million, it had a lottery thing attached to it. I looked, I said, talked to the guy, I said, man, you mean to tell me they're going to give somebody $384 million? He said, yeah, man. He says, you know, you're going to, you know, all you got to do is some kind of Powerball. I don't know nothing about that. But I know one thing, it sure looked tempting. You know, I didn't get one, but it sure looked $84 million. And some lucky person, I said, no. We ain't going to go there. I don't want you to think that luck has anything to do with where you are right now. The breath you're taking is not because of luck. The job you have is not because of luck. Your health is not because of luck. So you've got to recognize that it's God that's done this. And when he does something, in order for you not to establish spiritual amnesia, you need to write some things down. Because, you know, I wrote down when this is the date that, you know, they said that I had myocarditis. And then later on, you know, I said this is the date that they pronounced that I no longer have anything wrong with my heart because God has done an amazing thing. But they don't know what it was. I know what it was because when they look and say your heart is beating normally and it's pumping normally, I was like saying, Father, I thank you and I give you glory. You need to write it down. You need to write it down. And also that brings me to my point is that God wants us to share. So I put it like this. God wants us to share our God story. Yes, he does. How many of you all have a God story? If you don't have a God story yet, God's going to give you one. And if you don't have a God story, you have one. You just don't know it's a God story. Because you didn't even get here by yourself. Oh, look at this passage. Joshua 4 and 6 says this. It says that this, why I'm putting this in place, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come. In other words, there are going to be some times that come that are really going to, you know, they're going to say, well, how did you get here? How did you come to this place? It will be our opportunity to say, God, the worst thing in the world is when somebody says, how did you get where you are? So, well, let me tell you how I done this. Let me tell you how I schmoozed and how I, you know, manipulated the situation, how I had people in high places. Can I let you know that we are where we are not because of anything I did? God wants us to share our God story. I tell them, they say, well, how did abundant faith happen? Well, there were a few people in a Bible study in my house, in my family room, and we were just talking about the God, and then God began to do things in our hearts. Had no idea that later on that thousands of people would be touched and thousands of lives would be saved. But it wasn't because of Jerry Wayne's doing. I would be a fool. Did you all hear me? I would be a fool to say, well, let me show you what. And people come today and they say, well, Pastor, I want to talk to you about, you know, this place or that place or how you did this. And then I look at them and I said, man, it was all God. I can tell you what I did, but I'm going to tell you that it was God that blessed the very works of the hands. Can I get a witness? Any of y'all ever been in those situations? When I look around right now, I can see right now and you may never have told your story, but man, you know, if you really look and recognize that where you are is not because you were so good, but that God placed his hand upon your life, it really makes you think. We've got to tell somebody. So here's the thing. He said in his word, and we've got to grasp this, he says, not only do we need to write it down, but we need also tell it to others. And I call that a testimony time. And a long time ago, you know, we used to do this, and we'll probably do it today and probably do it again. But I used to say, you know, we used to have testimony service. You have to be careful with testimony service because people, you never know what they're going to say, right? They get up and they just go on and be talking about people and, you know, throwing shade and all that stuff. I'm just saying. So here's the thing. They used to say, you know, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life? pastors, saints, and friends, deacons in their absence. I thank the Lord for being saved, sanctified, filled with the mighty burning Holy Ghost. Do speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Pray my strength in the Lord. And then the next one, get up. And we understand that this was taking place, but that, there's another type of testimony. You know, there's one that you do in front of a crowd, so to speak, because that's the speech that you've heard. But there's another testimony that when you think about the goodness of Jesus and someone is in the very midst, and you may not even be in church, but you just in the grocery store, and somebody come up and say, "Hi, well, can I just tell you about Jesus and tell you about what he's done in my life? I picked me up, turned me around, and established a new voice in my mouth. I used to cuss, and now he changed my language. I used to try to party, used to try to get high, used to do all this stuff, but God." Now, that's the kind of testimony that changes lives. Can I get a witness? Somebody give him a real good praise in the house. All of us have a God testimony. Say it with me. I got a God testimony. If I would go around the room and hear some of your testimonies, I think it would blow me away. I was just listening this past Wednesday night, and I heard some testimonies. You know, what's his name? Sister Ruth. Ruthie. I knew it was an R. Hallelujah. She was giving her testimony. She says, "Pastor, I know some people say you look at your hands, and your hands, some people that say that their hands didn't look new, but I'm telling you, my hands look new." So I looked at my feet looked new. And I had some bouncing, it was going on, and I was in the spirit, and people were looking at me. I said, "Wow." Now I'm telling you, know that everybody's testimony is not the same. But however God touched you, you need to remember that day and say, "Father, thank you for touching my life." I gotta move on. But I want you to grasp this. You've gotta give your story. You've gotta tell your story, because that takes me to my next point, which is tremendously important. You know, first of all, we've gotta tell our stories, our challenging times, and not only your times where it looked like you was a hero. Because you weren't always a hero. Man, I need to sometimes share my failures when I didn't do God's will and what happened. Yes. You all with me? Yes. God told me a long time ago, there's several things that he spoke to me specifically. You know, one is I had to be, you know, careful to love on my wife, take care of her. And he said, "Pastor, you see, oh man, I'm telling you, every husband in here, make sure if you want to prosper in the things of God, don't you ever abuse a woman, none of them." Did you all hear what I said? Learn to love them, care for them, and be honest, be faithful to them. Are you with me today? And if you take care of God's daughter, man, doors will open for you. Can I get a witness in this place? Man, oh man. Hallelujah. And then God began to say, "Hey, in your busyness," he says, "even when you're busy, you got all this thing to do." He said, "If it's family related," he says, "just know that I'll fill in the gap." So it means if you have to go to school to do this, you have to take care of this. God says, "I got this. You just take care of that. And when you get ready to go forth, I got you." Now, how many of you all know nobody can do you like God can? Man, oh, man. Then there's a thing I put in the back of my in the back of my door with all kind of posters and, you know, I guess you'd call them articles from the newspaper that would talk about people that have, listen to me, fallen and for whatever reason. And I did say fallen because you can learn a lot from other people. Can I get a witness? And I post this because all those people that I posted, they were in high degree at one point. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You know, you have to be careful because God can catch your attention and capture your attention without you going down the same path. So He put me in a place to where the place across the street, and I don't even like telling this story because it sounds like I might be a hit on somebody, because it's really not. It's the building that's now is Seth's Ed. That used to be a church. How many remember that? That's only, y'all not that old. Hallelujah. So that was probably 30 years ago. And I remember going there as a teenager playing ball at one of the most progressive churches in the city. But something happened, and something else happened, and God began to take his eyes off of God and put his eyes on something else. And God says, I want you to stand out. And he says, I place this place on this hill so you can look every time you walk out of the door and remind you what was and what could have been and what will happen if you take your eyes off of me. How many of you ever had that kind of reminder? No wonder the old folks sing a song, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. How many of you know you can't forget certain things? Oh, it's getting quiet up in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you my last point. You all still with me? Amen. Here's this last point is this. Is that God wants us to not only share, because that's important, because sharing is important, because all of us have a God story. And I'll probably call one of you all up again to give a God story. Maybe if not this time, maybe in the coming times. But it's important that you have that God story. And everybody has one. And you need to learn how to prepare it. And don't take all day. Because at the store, people don't have all day. On your job, people don't have all day. Yeah, hallelujah. Your kids want to hear, but they don't have all. Woo! So my last point is this. Our intimate knowledge of God shapes our worship. Say it with me. Our intimate knowledge of God shapes my worship. Why do I worship like I do? Why do I lift my hands? It's not because the praise and worship leader said, lift your hands. Why do I come, and why is there sometimes a pep in my step? Why did David say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? You know, why did the psalmist say, you know, your loving kindness is better than life? Why? Because he had an intimate relationship with God. And when you have an intimate relationship with God, it takes your worship someplace where just words on the screen can't take you. That's why I know that some people need to know him. And then they wouldn't be wondering, like, why are people lifting their hands? Why is tears coming down their face? Why are they jumping? Why are they leaping? I don't understand, Margaret. If you had an intimate relationship like I do, it would absolutely shape your worship. That's why I tell people when Moses came back down from the mountain, it shaped his worship to so much to where he said that I'm a friend of God. He looked at God totally different. In fact, when he came back down from the mountain, you know, they couldn't hardly look on him because he had a glow, because he'd been in the presence of God. How many of you all know that God wants us to get in his presence and he wants us to have an intimate relationship with him? That is my prayer for the coming month. May somebody get in God's presence, have that intimacy with him, and may their worship be real, may it not be based upon somebody, you know, being loud or soft, may it not be based upon how articulate they are, but may it be based upon we've been in God's presence and we came out changed, and my worship is different. As I think about our church, and think about one important moment for me, there was a situation in church, and it could have turned out really, really bad, but God knows how to take things and switch them for the good. And, you know, there was a young lady that part of our church come and just worship God and give God glory, and then she'd get happy and and she would be loud. Some people would dance, some would run, some would do other things. And this particular lady would just scream really, really loud. And I was like thinking like, wow, some of the kids gonna get scared. So I said to ushers, I said, hey, y'all go and talk to her. And they went talk to her, and then I know at the end of it, she was like saying, wow, I'm a little bit offended. She says, I wanna talk to the pastor. So I said, I'll be more than happy to talk, because my heart was pure. We went in the office, and we began to talk, and I said, well, you know, you kind of loud? She said, yeah, I am. You've been screaming? Yeah, I do. She said, I just want to know, Pastor. Are you saying I have to leave if I can't scream, if I can't praise God how I praise Him? I said, no, ma'am, absolutely not. I said, tell me your story. She began to say, when I was a little girl, this took place. And then when I got to a certain age, that they found something in my throat. And they had to take something out of my throat. And they said that I might never be able to talk again. She said, but you hear me talking now, don't you? Not only when I talk it, but every time I think about it, I just yell out or scream, and it's just to God. I said, girl, you got to keep on, because I can relate to that. Sometimes you don't understand people until you hear their story. But if God healed your vocal cords, if God opened your mouth when they said you'd never talk again, you'd open your mouth and you'd give God glory as well. Somebody give God some praise in this house. Somebody give Him some glory. He's God.